You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow, and next up, a promising new vaccine to fight the deadly Ebola virus. Last April, an Ebola virus outbreak in the Congo killed 120 people and many more animals, gorillas. Ebola is a fast and lethal virus. You know, it's very lethal. 50 to 90% of those who become infected die. And this week in the journal Nature, researchers announced that they have developed a new rapid vaccine against the Ebola virus that works very well in monkeys. Could this be the tool doctors need to stop an outbreak of Ebola in people? Let's talk about it some more. Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you, Ari. Good to be here.
This looked like, give us a little thumbnail of this test. It worked pretty well.
Yeah, it did. It was the use of a unique kind of a vaccine, which takes a common virus called adenovirus, to which you insert the genes of Ebola so that they express then. The proteins, the important immunizing proteins of Ebola, were used to vaccinate monkeys, and then the monkeys were challenged with a Ebola virus that was isolated from an Ebola epidemic, a real Ebola epidemic, and it totally protected the monkeys that were challenged with the virus. The important part about the study is that a previous Ebola monkey study was published by the same group led by Dr. Gary Nabel here at NIAID some time ago, but it required multiple booster injections. That would be okay, and that regimen is still being pursued, but in a situation where you're dealing with an outbreak where you need to rapidly vaccinate and protect people, or even in a biodefense situation where you need to move rapidly, this was a single injection which within a period of 3 to 4 weeks was able to develop enough of an immune response that it protected the animals for challenge. And the timing of it, the rapidity with which that degree of protection was reached, is one of the major advances associated with the study.
How is it that, I'm going to say this as a layman, how is it that it seems like in a relatively short amount of time, and it is a short amount of time, if this vaccine worked so well in the monkeys, how is it that science was able to come up with it so quickly?
Well, you know, the whole field of vaccinology is moving rapidly in ways in which we can present an antigen to the host, namely to let the host's immune system recognize a particular antigen. There are a lot of different ways of doing that. This way of using a vector, a virus that's a common virus, that's a virus that doesn't replicate well at all, but that the body recognizes as something that is going to make immune response to it, and couple that with the expression of the genes of the particular virus that you want an immune response against is relatively new approach. But it gets refined as we go on and as you get better vectors. So we're doing much better, we as a field, much better now than we were doing just a couple of years ago, and we expect even further refinements and improvements. So it's all a part of the evolving field of vaccinology that gets better and better.
Mm-hmm. And the $64 question, of course, is when is it ready for people or even tests on people?
Well, we hope to be able to start phase one safety tests in individuals by the end of calendar year 04, and then from there to ramp up, and if those go successful, you never have any guarantees when you're dealing with biology, but hopefully within a period of about 3 to 5 years thereafter, we will wind up having the vaccine if we're successful. If there are emergency situations where the kinds of outbreaks that we've experienced before, for example, in sub-Saharan Africa occur, we could then on that basis use some of those situations as a potential clinical trial, because you can't really test the efficacy of something except in an animal unless it occurs naturally.
Right.
And since the natural outbreaks are so sporadic that we will have that available as we're going through the development, but even without that, the idea of protecting an animal that generally reflects protection in humans. If this were just a mouse model, I would say, well, you know, a lot of things happen in the mice that don't necessarily happen in the human. But the fact that it's so robustly protected monkeys, which are a good model for this disease, we have optimism, you know, can't be guaranteed, yeah, but optimism that'll work in a human.
1-800-989-8255 is our number, 1-800-989-TALK, talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci. Is this the kind of vaccine that you can give after infection like rabies, or do you have to vaccinate it in advance?
Well, you know, we're not sure about that, and those are where the experiments are going to be done to really refine that. Certainly, the philosophy of a ring vaccination, which one borrows from the smallpox situation, that if you do have an outbreak, let's say in a sub-Saharan African country, one of the most vulnerable groups of people are the health workers and the contacts, the family contacts of an individual. Certainly, if a situation arises where we would use this vaccine in humans, you would want to vaccinate the contacts, particularly the people who are the health workers providing care to the person, as well as the contacts, in hope that the immune response that it's induced by the vaccine will at worst mute or dampen the effect of the disease itself, and at best actually prevent it. So although we haven't done enough tests to be able to say that you have that several day leeway the way we know we have 3 or so days following exposure to smallpox, we know that we can blunt the appearance of the disease or the infection of those individuals. This would be our goal and our hope, that not only people who are pre-immunized who then get exposed, clearly we've shown that concept to be proven in the monkey model, but we want to see if we can actually have it certain times after exposure. So that's a very important goal of studies such as these.
If there were an outbreak of Ebola somewhere in Africa or another place, and there was nothing else to treat it, would it be ethical to try out this vaccine?
Oh, absolutely. I think when you're dealing with an emergency situation, as you said in your introduction, Ara, in a disease that has a 50 to 100% mortality, depending upon where you are, and, you know, with a mean of somewhere around 70 to 90% mortality, that the risk of a vaccine that would have hopefully been proved to be safe, because we're going to rapidly, as quickly as we can, go into phase one safety studies in humans. And if we show that it's actually safe in humans, the risk of giving it to someone, if you fail to protect in the field situation, well, then you haven't really lost much, because this is such a devastating situation to begin with. And that's the reason why we're trying very rapidly to proceed into phase one safety study, so that if the situation does arise as we're proceeding to with the development of the vaccine, that it's needed in Africa, we would be able to use it in a clinical trial basis under those circumstances.
You were talking about the relatively new approach to making this vaccine. Would this approach work on other kinds of viruses, possibly like SARS?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we have a program using this same concept with the SARS vaccine, and it's well underway with an HIV vaccine. The use of a viral vector to present the antigens to the host is something that is already ongoing in other diseases, and that's one of the first things we did when we got a hold of the SARS virus, and what Dr. Nabel and his colleagues, as well as others, are working on right now. And we are already into studies using the same concept for an HIV vaccine.
Well, when you use a virus, doesn't that mean you're like catching it, and doesn't have to spread to all the cells that are infected?
No, not necessarily. You don't want to do that. What you're doing is that when you introduce into the human host a virus-like adenovirus to which you've added the extra genes of the particular proteins of the Ebola that you want the body to make an immune response in, you don't have to enter any cells at all.
Uh-huh.
You just need the body to recognize that as something that's foreign enough to make a robust immune response, and as part of that immune response, you make a robust immune response against those particular Ebola proteins. And that's exactly what happened in the monkey model.
Now, but of course, in HIV and AIDS, that virus mutates a lot. Would that stop you here?
It doesn't stop you. It's something you absolutely need to consider, and that's the reason why when you try a vaccine or you try and develop a vaccine against HIV, you generally try to get the immune response against that component of the virus that's relatively constant, as opposed to those regions that are more prone to mutate and be very variable.
Mm-hmm. Very fascinating. Well, I have you here. I can ask you one other question. It's
sure.
A little off topic. We're having reports today that the West Nile is spreading very fast, and faster than expected.
Yes, yes.
Why would that be?
Well, why is because that's naturally one of the things you're concerned about, and it's happening. You may know last year we had over 4,000 cases and 284 deaths, And we were hoping that this year we would see a down year. But if you look at the trajectory of the new cases now, with about 164 or so cases as of last count, there are probably more now as we speak, with 7 deaths, and look at the exactly the same time last year where there were about 112 or 113 cases, if anything, the trajectory is the same or even a little bit worse. Hopefully, when we're hoping that it will plateau down, but it doesn't look good right now. It looks like it's going to be a year where we're going to have a problem, and that's the reason why people have to continue to be very vigilant about getting rid of standing water and being careful when you go out in the morning and the evening, particularly wearing protective clothes and use DEET and all the things that the CDC talks about on their website. I think people should take that very seriously.
Could the, you know, I'm sure you're having the same tropical rainy summer that we're having. Could that have something to do with the spring?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What we've had is that we've had a cool and rainy spring. We've had a hot July. And this type of a disease, particularly West Nile, that we've experienced in this country, tends to start to really accelerate in mid-August and the beginning of the fall. And unfortunately, we're seeing the same kind of pattern that the usual typical projection that we've seen in the previous year. And that's the thing that's worrisome, because it's starting to evolve now very rapidly and exponentially increasing.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Fauci.
You're quite welcome.
For joining us today. As always, a pleasure having you on. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.